Blog Talk Radio.
Here we are again, folks. Happy Wednesday, wherever you are. Welcome to the F-World Headquarters Podcast. I am your host with the most, the F-World icon himself, Sean Jazz Stevens. Today is a very special F-World Headquarters Podcast. It is a midweek check-in to see how everyone's doing so far in the week and update people of what I've done so far and what's going to happen and some preludes of things to come, I guess you say, previews of things to come. So there's many things to go over today in only a short amount of time, I feel, but we're going to get this done. You know, first and foremost, I had hinted for a long time and have mentioned in passing on the show about Jazz and Friends Expo. And I feel like this is probably the best time to start talking and to kick off today's show with talking about the elephant in the room. What is Jazz and Friends Expo? What is the plan of attack? What is the focus? And what are the organizations that I'm going to be working with to help this thing go off? And what are the purposes and what are the causes and so forth? And the biggest question, who's involved, right? So there's a lot of things to go over. But in order to get here, we need to go back in time to 2019. 2019, I was at a crossroads of my wrestling career. I said, it's time for me to take a break from in-ring competition. My body wouldn't let me compete like I was. And I want to make people aware that even though I'm very athletic and I can still play many sports, but the toll of my body between what we call chair shots, back body bops, to the extent where I was constantly getting injured, not constantly, but I have a very nagging knee injury that has been, hurting for years. And just the amount of chair shots I've taken in my early career, not so much towards my later times, but my younger days in wrestling really took a toll on my body as a whole. Which is why, as a PSA to the future stars of the world, you need to be careful of what you're doing and pay attention to who you're with and just, try to be safe when you're doing various different outlets. And a lot of people, whenever there was, in wrestling we call a botch, when you, mess up a spot or something like that, but a botch is so painful and it can cost someone their life or injury serious and whatnot. But in 2019, I decided it's time for me to step out of the ring and be there for my family to prolong my life. But also the other part was, I think part of the reason in the pro wrestling business that so many guys in the business are afraid to really venture out. What else can I do? Where, if I don't continue to wrestle, I will not be relevant anymore, which I find troubling because I think for the most part, your first goal when you're starting, here's a little bit of a thing. When you're starting to wrap up your in-ring wrestling career as an in-ring performer, I think it's important to pay attention to yourself and pay attention to how you're performing in a ring, what kind of a response you're getting, and to look around the locker room and look to see if there's other avenues you have other talents to offer. Me, for example, let's face it, when it comes to cutting promos and talking and things of that nature, there's no one's going to touch me. I am probably one of the best people on a microphone. And I, again, owe that to my trainers. They did a lot of time to get me prepped for that, and I'm very grateful to them for that. So I knew I have the speaking ability, and I also was taught a long time ago by my trainer, Killer Kowalski, that when you get to a certain point, it's your job to take the people who are coming up in the sport, take them under your wing, and get them ready, get them over, polish them up, so that those green guys can someday shine like the stars that they're going to be. Because let's face it, if at some point in your career, you're not going to be able to go out to that ring and perform like you did when you were younger in your wrestling career. And that goes for any athlete. Any athlete goes through the same thing. When you're younger and you have more energy and more things going on, clearly you're going to, you know, have a lot more to offer when you're younger than when you get older. But what you do have as an older person is you have what was called experience. That a lot of the younger guys, the younger talent, can actually learn from. Some people choose to keep that to themselves and continue trying to hold on to that flame that they are still the stars they were when they were, you know, in their younger days. And yeah, that very well may be a thing, and I'm not saying it's not. But on the same sense, it's also, you know, true that, you know, clearly there's going to be other people who are younger, hungrier, and can perform, you know, newer things. The audience changes, times change, maybe your gimmick has outgrown you or the thing or the sport or whatever. And that's no one's fault. That's just what happens if age or everything else. But you need to be able to step back and look upon what's going on around you. Me, for example, I mean, my first passion was to be a professional wrestler. I did that. Check box. But also, there were other avenues and other things I was very passionate about. I wanted to continue my work as an anti-bullying advocate. I wanted to continue to try to make people's lives better in that sense. I wanted to spread the word of the F4L. I wanted to work in film. I mean, and I took these steps while I was injured. I was injured for quite a few years. I wasn't allowed to go into a ring. I was allowed to work out like I was. And I wanted to let people know that, you know, when you're so used to going to a gym and gym becomes your kind of focus, right? You get up in the morning, you have your breakfast, you go to the gym, you work hard, you know, you work until basically you get sick and then you get done and then you shower, you go home and get sleep and repeat, right? That's kind of the idea. And when, you know, you get to a certain point, you know, you have to look around. So I was injured for a little while. So what I ended up doing is I earned two college degrees while I was injured, a film degree and a human services degree. And the reason why is because I figured if I can't go to the gym like I was and I can't perform in a wrestling ring like I was, then I need to do something that's going to focus my time that I can be just as passionate about that will, you know, orchestrate. So when I had the option to continue to go to regular college, regular school, and I still had scholarships left over, because remember, I started wrestling school when I was 18. I graduated high school in 1999 with honors, and I had scholarships that were awarded, but I never followed through because my first passion was wrestling. When checking, I found out that some of those scholarships were actually going to be honored. And that's how, when I was 21 and I was in, you know, 23 rather, I decided I'm going to use these and I'm going to go to college. And that's when I went to the schools that I went to, and I earned both I put the work in to get two separate degrees, you know, human services and film. And helping others is something that I've always so very been passionate about. Whether it be human services, whether it be mental health, whether it be, you know, being a big brother advocate, I was many things for many people. You know, a lot of the times I haven't talked a lot about my health and my own struggles in, you know, the world of, you know, things. Once or twice I might have brought up in passing, but to be clear, and it is true that I had cancer at one point, and I beat cancer, and I was very fortunate. At first, I didn't know I was sick, and this is back when, you know, I was young, and I didn't, you know, go to the doctors unless I absolutely had to, And then I realized that, you know, something's wrong. And, you know, due to the, you know, my real F4Ls really encouraged me to go get checked out. Grateful to them for doing that because they found out that I had colon cancer. We took care of that. And thanks to the help of Dana Farber Institute and the Jimmy Fund, not the Jimmy Fund, but Dana Farber Institute, and the awesome doctors over there and the medical treatment and whatever, it was removed. And years later, I am still, in, you know, cancer free thanks to them. But in the meantime, cancer is something that's been around for a long time, and it's circled around at least my life. I've had uncles, I've had aunts, I've had relatives, I had friends who've had various styles, various types of this, you know, disease, this cancer. And, you know, in my younger days when I did wrestling and things like that, I was always willing to do various fundraisers for the Jimmy Fund. The Jimmy Fund is a nonprofit. It's a fundraising component to the Dana-Farber Institute. It's a long-running fundraiser kind of a thing where they're, you know, with, really what they do is they raise money to try to battle various types of cancer. And, you know, it funds Dana-Farber, gives the doctors and the nurses and the people who do all of these tireless efforts to take the fight to cancer and try to make people's lives better and prolong things and eradicate it. And whenever in my younger days in wrestling, I did a couple fundraisers for them, for wrestling companies and stuff like that. And I was very honored to do those things, had a great relationship with them. And in 2000, now let's get back to 2019, when I'm looking at, you know, the horizon, what is next for Sean Jazz Stevens? I have many things that I can do. At the time, I was working creative for a wrestling company. And, you know, I was actually coming. I knew I was going to be coming home to help my son finish school because he was struggling with school at the time. I am very happy to say, which thanks to that, my son not only finished school, he did it very well. I'm very proud of him. And listen, it's okay if, you know, you need help and stuff like that. And as a father, as a person who worked, I am very thankful that I was able to come home to work with my son, to be able to help him, guide him through his goal of graduation. And I know that school is not always easy. How do I know that? Because I went through school. I have, you know, graduated, obviously, many years ago now, but in 2019, I was retiring from in-ring competition, going into a Hall of Fame, and it was time for me to find another avenue and something else to kind of focus my time. Excuse me, folks. A little bit of a... So I'm drinking orange juice in one cup, and in the other, I have a coffee. No, I'm not drinking them together because that's gross. But I'm sipping in between, and it's just a little bit of a tickly thing for me. So bear with me, folks. Sorry. All right, that's better. But anyway, so I decided that I needed to find something else to do with my time. So one of the things that I, you know, have been part of is the whole convention kind of an avenue, right? Meeting with fans and meeting with fellow people who go to conventions all the time, various different conventions. And if you've listened to this show before, you know I'm very passionate about and very much a proponent for going to a pop culture convention and really enjoying it. I don't know how many of these shows I've done. Actually, I do. A lot of them. And if you go back to the archives and the early shows of this, you know, thing, I've had fellow convention goers go with me. I've had other people who, like celebrities and stuff, who've been to these conventions also to talk to them. And also I want to let people know ahead, you know, coming up, you know, before Monster Mania in March, which is coming. And I am very grateful and proud to be part of the Monster Mania family and team that is Monster Mania. And I want to let people know that I am going to continue my work with them because I am very passionate about that. Why? Because Dave and the Hagans and all of those Monster Mania people are like a second family to me. And if I could do something that's going to give back and help them out, then that's what I'm going to do. In the middle of everything else I'm doing. The joy that they do and the good work that they do is needs to be rewarded. It's paying it forward, right? So that's what that's about. So I'm working on getting a few of my fellow Monster Mania staff people, or our family, I should say, on the show together in one of those group call things, as we're going to have like a little bit of a pre-show reunion to get everyone ready for Monster Mania in March. But, you know, that's not, you know, no, that's down the road, and I'll be talking about you guys about that more maybe this weekend or something. But back to this, because I'm so used to working at a lot of these conventions, and, you know, my kids love going to these conventions, my wife likes to go to these various conventions, I work these conventions, you know, and I've, you know, been on both ends of the whole convention aspect. I've been the person signing, and I've been the person bringing people to meet people. And I always like to pay respect to those people who have paved the way for me to do what it is that I do today, whether it be in the film world or the wrestling world or whatever the case may be. You know, some of those, you know, people who, you know, those interactions, the being able to say thank you for your, you know, contributions, thank you for inspiring me to do what it is I do now. Me, for example, talking with and getting to know Wes Craven, the late, great Wes Craven. And at that point, I was working as a Big Brother mentor, and I had already lost my mother at this point. I was telling him about how, you know, my mother really would have loved this kind of environment. I was talking to him and Robert Englund both. And, you know, Robert Englund was talking about how, you know, he goes to a lot of charity work, going to burn clinics for kids and things like that, because horror movies and that kind of a thing is an escape for people living real life horrors. And it makes them feel at home. And people like Freddy Krueger and those people are seen as more like heroes because it helps them continue and bring some joy. So he is someone who does a lot of work for that. And I believe in helping people give back and all that. Being in the wrestling world or whatever, you know, we've always been proponents for the Make-A-Wish. I believe it or not, a lot of people have often asked me, have you ever done a Make-A-Wish? And not as many as one of my good friends, John Cena, but I have done some Make-A-Wishes in the past. Make-A-Wish is another kind of an organization that helps, you know, make kids who are battling life-threatening illnesses or people who are battling life-threatening illnesses, kind of gives them something positive, gives them some, you know, joy to make their pain a little less sufferable. And just, you know, all that. So that being said, what do I want to do after this wrestling world is done? What am I going to do after I'm stopped wrestling? And I knew I was going to be home, and yeah, I can clearly still work out back and, you know, working creative. And I do that, and I'm very happy to do that stuff. I'm happy to help the future of wrestling. And I have done that as well. I'm very happy to take someone who a lot of people have no idea what to do with, because something I have always had, and I've talked about this before, is the ability to spot talent and to spot something in someone that not maybe everyone can see on the first glance. But I have a trained eye for it, and it's not even a trained eye, it's instincts. I can tell, you know, what someone has to bring to a table, a skill, an asset, or whatever. And it adapts and stuff. So I'm, you know, but I knew that the wrestling world, as much as I loved it, I can do other things. I worked in the film world. And in 2019, I started, just to explode, you know, just to let people know, I have been working on adapting some short stories from Stephen King, taking part in the Dollar Baby Project. And currently I'm working on 6 of those short stories that I'm going to be adapting it into an anthology. He loved the idea. I love the idea. I love the challenge. Clearly, that takes a little work, and that's what takes a lot of my writing time. But in the middle of that, what else can I do to bring to the table? Well, I said, what about, because I have so many of these friends that I have of mine throughout the years, between wrestling, film, sports, you name it. I said, what if I was to have, you know, a set of events that take place over a weekend, kind of like a convention, but different. And originally, Jazz and Friends Expo, I mean, granted, the you know, it was going to take place, you know, part during the year, 3 different parts, spring, summer, and fall, three different seasons. And, you know, the only thing that really changed in was the one that's coming up, oddly enough. The first one, and I already knew off the top of my head, I already knew the first one was going to be working with the Jimmy Fund. Let's just focus on one at a time right now. We're talking about the Jimmy Fund program that I'm working with for the Jazz and Friends Expo's Epic Weekend Adventures and Super Show Events. That's a mouthful, I know. I'm going to break it down for you guys and let you guys know what we're going to be doing, what's involved, maybe a taste of who's involved and, you know, what it's really about. What is it for? Because I don't feel like I want to get too ahead of ourselves or anything else. Let's take care of one thing at a time. Let's talk about the elephant in the room. Today on Instagram, tonight, I threw down the gauntlet and I spoke very much from the heart. And I mean every word I said. And I had been thinking about that for a long time, and everything's been putting the wheels in motion. But let me tell you what I'm impressed about. And let me tell you about some of the most amazing people you'll never hear about. Or you do, in some aspects. I decided in 2019 that I think what I want to do is these, you know, event shows where I'll have a weekend and I'll have, you know, some type of connected entertainment venue activity associated with a meet and greet with the celebrities. And it will be to raise money for various charities because it's giving back. And also it gives me an opportunity to kind of use my voice and my likeness and to work cohesively with consistently and as one with all of my friends, and which is why we named the company Jazz and Friends Expo. Jazz is me, and my friends is universal. Now, friends is a very broad statement, and anyone who knows me knows about the F4L. My friends are my family. And I believe in a lot of these various people in various avenues. But taking this one, the original plan for the springtime show was a wrestling show. Why? Is because I know about wrestling shows because, one, I've been through the whole wrestling world. You got to remember, this is back in 2019 when I literally just stepped out of the ring. I hung up my boots, so to speak, left them in the ring. And I was ready to move on with either the backstage stuff or something else. And it's a feeling that, you know, to be able to walk away from the ring, and I understand the calling that people get still who want to go to the ring, who want to still be the center of attention, but you need to be mindful and be knowing when to walk out of that spotlight and give it to somebody else. And to shine your spotlight on something else. So that's when I first started drafting Jazz and Friends Expo. And the first event was always going to be working with the Jimmy Fund. And the reason being, which is by the Dana-Farber Institute, which is the hospital deals with people all over the world and helps provide cancer treatment and research to try to end bully, to try to end cancer, really, and to try to help make people's lives better, young people, old people. And it's been a long time, the Jimmy Fund, and they have had many different other events throughout the years. My family's always taken part. I know in my younger days, I was part of the Scooper Bowl many times. I helped some of my friends who were in the music world. I helped them get booked through the Jimmy Fund. And they did the shows at the Jimmy Fund during the Scooper Bowl, which is an all-you-can-eat ice cream festival, which is amazing, by the way, for those people who like ice cream. But me, I do things that are a little differently. And, you know, basically what I'm thinking of originally was thinking of a wrestling show is because that's what I knew about most. I know a lot of things. I know about film. I know about organization. I know about events. I worked for numerous, you know, things. I continue to work for some of those. Taking that knowledge, I said I can do the own show and use this as a platform to raise money for the Jimmy Fund. And I was basically, it would be a combination of a mini WrestleMania was the original idea. Those people who are not familiar with WrestleMania, who lived under a rock since 1984, I think, 85. But anyway, WrestleMania was WWE's biggest pay-per-view and is part of pop culture. It was a vision to mix both Hollywood and, you know, pop culture and pro wrestling. It was, you know, where they had, you know, various celebrities of all different avenues take part in their wrestling show, whether it be, Muhammad Ali, you know, a boxing legend like Muhammad Ali as a referee, a singer as a ring announcer or a timekeeper. These are the things that WrestleMania really was built upon, was the whole Hollywood meets wrestling, right? Well, that was something that was groundbreaking, and which is why wrestling is still where it is today. It has not gone away because of the sheer train wreck that it is and the randomness that is pro wrestling. But then in 2020, not long after I stepped out of the ring and started helping my son finish school, you know, everyone was forced to stay at home. And me being me, I had time to check out various different social media platforms now that I'm working from home, writing on the screenplays and stuff, because at that point, that's what I was working on, and also doing story development for the company I was working for. And then when I stopped working for them, I was, you know, finishing up the screenplays and working on other things. 2020 happened, and I have come to know some of the most amazing human beings you'll ever meet via social media and YouTube and you name it. They are the most amazing people. I have been very fortunate enough to have some of them on this very show, and I hope to have even more of them on this show. People in the fitness world, people in the movie world, people in the music world, you name it, they've been here. And these are real-life people. And of course, I've talked about Jazz and Sons Dream Masters before, or Dream Matches before. My son's been on the show that we talked about it. And, you know, you guys all know the story behind that and how I decided that, you know, maybe instead of having these, you know, fictitious people having these rematches, what if I take these real-life people and use the men's storylines to get them some household name footage? Okay, so the more the world can know these amazing athletes, these amazing people, no matter what the avenue is that they're into, whether it be film, music, television, sports, you and what have you, MMA. And if you guys have ever watched Icons of the F4L, you'll notice the very much the different kind of a focus, right? We do less of the whole, you know, Superman versus Captain America, which is what we really started our foundation on. The Homers versus, you know, we were going to come far from the Homer versus, you know, the Homer Simpson versus Peter Griffin days, our first match ever. Now we feature real life real dream masters and real dream warriors, which is what we call our male and female superstars on our show. And yeah, granted, they're in storyline form, in their in wrestling format, and they're in cartoon shapes, but they're based on the real people. And I really believe that, you know, the, and again, we don't control the outcomes of any of our matches. And just to watch the progression through the wrestling show of the actual people. And then when you match it with the people who they're based upon, I am both proud and I'm very humbled of the fact that it's almost as if they are linked as one. Henry and Hiro, the Menya boys, Walker Campbell, Jaden Brooks, JoJo the bodybuilder, Philip Ricardo Jr. These are amazing people who we featured on our show. And these are people in real life who in real life have dominated a stage, whether it be at a bodybuilding competition, in a film, on a musical stage, in a, on a television show, or on the MMA mat. Grayson Russell and the Menya boys, as I mentioned, and all the other amazing athletes, Noah the Nightmare Kindle, who we're just, you know, we're welcoming him back into the fold. He's an amazing young man over the UK. I am very sad that, unfortunately, the first time we tried bringing him on here, it didn't work out well. But I want to let you guys know that I am going to fix that. We are going to get him on here now that I know how. But in general, these are the amazing people who, in real life, years from now, when my time to make a difference in the world, when my time to give back to the community is done, these are the amazing people who will continue to live the legacy, who will continue to make history, who will continue to make their goals happen. The Menya boys will headline the UFC card someday. I guarantee it. The Adels, they will do the same thing. Walker Campbell doesn't have, you know, it's interesting. He has said on his social media thing how he is, you know, he's not just an actor. He's not just a singer. He does sports. And what I said to him is, you're Walker Campbell. End of story. What I mean by that is I don't see people as just what they're capable of at that moment. Because remember, I always see things inside of someone that sometimes they can't even see. Walker Campbell, Jack and Tim, the lucky ones, JoJo the bodybuilder, Phil Ricardo Jr., JoJo's the model Sebastian. I know that's a name you guys haven't heard in a while, but these are people who are real-life dream masters, who are real-life people who have been awarded this year with being recognized as legitimate F4L brothers of the F4L. That is something not everybody gets. There are certainly people who very much deserve it, and there are very much people who are who should be having theirs soon. Sometimes it comes down to the fact of not being able to send it to them. But I feel it's important to recognize these people for who they are. So if I reach out to you and, you know, asking you, where do I send this? It's because you are family, you're F4L material. And that is something that is a very humbling honor. And what I've discovered in recognizing people as such, Jack Tyler Adams is another one who has been awarded and been recognized as the F4 in part of the F4L Brotherhood. So, and it also covers their families, folks. So don't think I'm excluding their amazing families either, because they're just as amazing as the people that, you know, we feature. But what I realize is all these amazing people and whatnot, and, you know, when everything was all set, and I was going around in 2019, end of 2019, wrapping up in December, I had everything lined up for all the amazing shows I had set. I had the wrestling show, the building for the wrestling show. I had the talent for the wrestling show. You know, the celebrities and stuff like that. And then I had everything else already set up. And then 2020, when everyone had was stuck at home and I was paying attention to these amazing people, my show couldn't happen, obviously, because nothing could. And I don't, you know, I'm not going to complain and say, oh, you know, I had all this work. It just meant that it was just postponed, not done. Jazz and Friends Expo was going to happen eventually once everything got back to, quote, normal. And last year, early last year, I had reached out to all of the organizations again and told them, listen, things are starting to lighten up a little bit. Why don't we talk about bringing these back? And everyone was on board. So secretly, I have been, you know, getting everything ready. And I did change a few things, meaning the first event, which is the Jazz and Friends Expo's epic weekend, which was in super shows in the events, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, the first thing is it's no longer a wrestling show. It is a celebrity basketball event. And here's something else. It's not just for the Jimmy Fund, like it always was going to be. It's also going to be played in the honor of my mother. And now we're going to get those tissues out. Not me. I'm just talking about all those people out there. If there's anybody sensitive, and if there's anyone who, you know, gets emotional very easily, I do suggest you guys grab some tissues now because it's going to get a little sad, but it's not to be meant to make you upset or make you cry. It's to appreciate life and to show you what we're going to do. And so stand by. All right, with tissues in hand, let's explain. So my mother, Lillian Irene Stevens White, she was an amazing woman. I've talked about her before. And, you know, I don't think people can really understand exactly what my mother had to go through just to bring me into the world. My mother is the youngest of seven. Her twin brother is a little bit more someone people enjoy. My mother was someone who was rebellious. And a lot of people would say that, you know, a lot of people would compare twins to be the same person. And when it came to my mother and her twin brother, Paul, who obviously right there, what we call fraternal twins, right? When you have two twins who are don't necessarily look the same, but they were born the same time, and they are, in fact, twins. They call these fraternal twins. Sometimes they're male and female, or sometimes they're, you know, both the same sex, just they don't look exactly the same, versus an identical twin, which is someone who looks like just like the other one. People like Cole and Dylan Sprouse, for example, or the, you know, the Olsen twins, those are identical twins. Versus my mother and my uncle. They are fraternal twins. And also, I had other family who were also twins. Twins running the family. It skipped over my mother's generation, by the way, so I am the lucky component of the twin gene, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway. My mother was someone who, you know, because she was rebellious and because she was always breaking ground and always, you know, wasn't going to be put into a label or told what she could and she couldn't do in a certain way. My mother liked to play basketball. My mother was very competitive. And, you know, this is something to highlight, this basketball thing in her girl days. My uncle belonged to the church basketball team. They did not have a girls basketball team. My mother said, well, I don't care if there's girls or not. I'm playing basketball. And the coach had her try out, and my mother went through heck. And long story short, my mother was not going to be denied playing basketball. So my mother already broke grounds at a girl at age 10, breaking grounds and became part of the boys' team, playing with all the boys because she was not going to be labeled and told that she wasn't going to be able to play basketball. And a lot of people, my uncle and some others, would even say that, you know, she might have been even tougher than some of them when it came to that avenue of things. So that's kind of where you got to understand. And then when she was 16, she found herself in a situation where she thought she was in love, and she met someone she thought she enjoyed. Again, she was 16 years old. Today, this is something, a very common thing. In fact, there's a whole TV show about it on MTV called, 16 and Pregnant. Back in 1980, however, this was not something that you broadcasted. This is not something you celebrated. This is not something that you went and let all your neighbors about. In fact, it was something that you were shunned for. You were disrespected for. You were constantly mocked for. You were judged before you could do anything. There was a lot of all kinds of things that my mother had to go through. But the way my mother looked at it is she made the decision, the adult decision, to put herself in a situation where she could become pregnant. So her response to that was, I need to be responsible enough to live with the, quote, the consequences. The consequences, ladies and gentlemen, is talking to you right now. I am the result of those consequences. And my mother, despite her own family and other people, she still brought me into this world. So thank her for that. And then, going throughout life, my mother was constantly doing things of that nature, constantly being someone to speak up for someone when they needed to be spoken into, getting involved with things that she probably shouldn't be involved with. I remember very vividly, we were younger, my brothers, my sister, and I, and we were down at a beach not too far away from us. It was a very common thing in the summertime that we would just go for drives. My mother would just constantly take us out. She liked to go on adventures and things of that nature. She liked to spend time. She was very much a social butterfly, my mother. I have to admit, I was not overly fond of a lot of the people that she hung around with back in those days. My mother really was the epitome of, the quote, soccer mom, even though at that point no one really played soccer yet. I didn't find my footing for soccer until I was in high school, but I was already doing martial arts and things like that. But, she didn't go to those because she didn't like to see people beat me up, I guess. But then again, they don't really do that anyway, so there's that. But here's the thing. When it comes to courage, guts, determination, doing the right thing, no one was going to deter her from anything. 1986, we just celebrated Christmas in our first house in Braintree, 1986. We just moved to Braintree, Mass, and that Christmas, shortly after that Christmas, which was the best Christmas we had on record as a kid, my stepfather had, his family had owned a oil delivery company, and, we were doing, they had a really good year or whatever, so they had all kinds of presents and everything else, toys and gadgets and gizmos. Yes, it was a good Christmas that year in our new house. Me and my brothers, my sister. And as I said before, on weekends, I would spend the weekends at my aunt and uncle's house just because, it was an escape and didn't have kids of their own. So I spent a lot of time at my aunt and uncle's house on weekends during those times. And this was one of those occasions where I was at my aunt and uncle's house in South Boston. And I came home that Sunday like I normally would. We leave on Friday, we come back on Sunday. But instead of going back to our house in Braintree, we went to my step-grandmother's house. And that was when I found out that over the weekend, there was a house fire, which I've never even heard of such a thing. What do you mean, the house fire? But, remember, 1986, I was 6 years old. And I was in first grade. And, that's when I really got to learn about what it's like to get charity, I guess, also during that time, or, feel the compassion of others. Of course, at that time, I didn't appreciate it because I was young And I was embarrassed and I was mortified, you know, but the reality of it was, and this is a true story, and as follows is what took place according to the records and everything that went on. So we had a house fire, and it was shortly after Christmas, as I mentioned, a few weeks after, and it was electrical fire, so people know, and it was not something that someone had, you know, it was nothing, you know, evil motives or anything like that. It was, you know, it was an older house. It had an electrical fire. And my mother, who had the wherewithal, was home, my two brothers and my sister. I have one brother who's just a couple years younger than me. My sister is right after him, and my brother, my youngest brother at that point, is right after him. So they're what we usually call the Irish triplets, because they're a year apart, each of them. But because two of them are in diapers, one of them is just barely out of diapers, they're young. And also my sister and my youngest brother both had asthma. And you got to remember, my mother was a young mother. I was her first at 16. And shortly after that, she had three more kids. So in 1986, now she's got four. But I'm at my uncle's house, and as I mentioned, and the fire goes off, and she sees the flames, and she knows where enough to go into the house that's burning, and not once or twice, but three times to bring out each of the kids, who are my brothers and my sister, who were in the house. She knew enough to cover the faces of my youngest brother and my sister because of their asthma. So the lungs weren't getting into their lungs and do any damage. And I got to tell you this is a little bit of a graphic thing, so I apologize, trying to not be as graphic with it. But when my mother came out of the house, and there was pictures of this, my mother's hair was engulfed in flames during the time that she got one of my other siblings. And she still went into the house to save the other sibling. My other sibling, her other child. So a lot of people, you know, can say, well, you know, my mother's awesome, my mother's great and all that. And I'm not taking away from anyone's mother. I always say, appreciate your mothers as long as you have them. But the moral of the story is, if it wasn't for my mother, none of those kids would be alive today. They are all still alive and doing very well for themselves, I might add, to this day, thanks to her. Her quick thinking and her guts, determination, her iron will. That's why they're alive today, because of that. She wasn't going to wait for the firefighters to get there to go rescue her own kids. That was going to be her responsibility, and she did it. So, and she was also, like I said, very social, loved to be around people, talk to people. She didn't see people as a title. But she saw people as people, and she called people on their, you know, being people. I remember during the height of the New Kids on the Block craze in the 1980s, late 80s, when, you know, the Wahlbergs didn't live that far away from us, really. And my mother would, you know, go there and beep at the house, and it was very embarrassing at that time. And it wouldn't be till late years and years later, actually, it would be at my mother's, you know, service that would come to find out that the Wahlbergs and Mrs. Wahlberg, Alma Wahlberg, she would call my mother a hot ticket, quote, end quote. She thought my mother was hysterical and was a very much a different kind of a character, because they were nice enough to grace us with their presence there. But anyway, my mother was someone who, you know, because she was rebellious, it's because she was, you know, someone who saw herself as being kind of the outside in. She, you know, took smoking up at a young age, and she developed emphysema pretty young. And this is sad. My mother was only 40. Hold on. I want to give you the actual age. And this is going to be a little sad, I think, for some. But also should really, you know, as a PSA, and I'm going to be honest with you guys, when I was younger and when she was alive, I did bring people willingly to see my mother and visit my mother towards, you know, towards the end of her dying, because I felt it was important for people who smoke to see what the results of that is. It's because of the fact I have seen the results of drugs, alcohol, smoking, or whatever on people I love and care about, whether it be friends, family, or whatever. That's why I don't drink or smoke or drug. You can call me lame if you want to. I do drink coffee. I drink tea. And my idea of heavy drinking is a bottle of soda. And unfortunately, that's just how it is. But all honesty, thanks to that, I'm able to remember every single event. I'm sober. I'm happy being sober. I've never been drunk, which I'm very happy for. And it's just something that, unfortunately, will never be, you know, something it will be part of my lifestyle. It will not be something my kids will have to get used to, nor will they ever. So there you go. So here we go. My mother, who was born on November 14th, 1962, she passed away on May 19th, 2010, at 47 years old. 47 years old. Let me put that in perspective for you. Ladies and gentlemen, I am going to be turning 43 in a couple months. March, I will be 43. I've never smoked or drank or anything like that, and it's, you know, whatever. But anyway, what I'm going to read to you is exactly what happened and what is going on, and this will give you a little idea. Here you go. So my mother, Lillian Irene Stevens White, at that point was living in Hyannis, formerly of Quincy. Of course, that's, you know, hometown. She was struck in her wheelchair after returning home from an errand. She was a devoted homemaker, which means she was a mom, a stay-at-home mom, for the most part. She was raised in Quincy, graduated from Quincy High. She was known as a very outgoing person and a community person, as I just mentioned. Who also enjoyed visiting with the neighbors and acquaintances, which, again, she was a social person. Her friends and her family were very close to her. She was very protective of all those people. And she was a sarcastic person. She had a sense of humor like mine. And, you know, all honesty, I get a lot of my sense of humor from her. It might be a coping mechanism, but it's our instincts to laugh before we, you know, get all upset. That's kind of how we do things in our house. That's how I still do it. She was known for playing bingo, and she was married to my stepfather, as it mentions here. And of course, she was the devoted mother of me, Sean Stevens, my brother, my other brother, my sister, a couple other people, all of her brothers and sisters at that point. Sadly, this list has shrunk since then, and it talks about her wake and funeral and whatnot. So, May 19th is when the event takes place, which is because it will be 13 years that I lost my mother on May 19th. And what's sad is that my kids, who are now, 20 and 21, never really got to experience who my mother was because we were very young. My wife and my really never got to know my mother really that well. And that makes me sad. What makes me even more sad is the fact that my mother wasn't there on the greatest day of my life when I finally walked the aisle, so to speak, and got married. Hold on one second, folks. Mm-hmm. Okay, folks, I am back. I apologize. I had to get some water again. And also, my wife had a little bit of a nightmare, so I had to cover her, so I apologize. She has to work in the morning, so she went to bed early. Sometimes, you know, she has a hard time sleeping, and I had to go comfort her, so I apologize, folks. Husband's job's never done. Father's job's never done. So here you go. I let people know she is okay. She just had a bad dream. It happens. All right. So, as I was mentioning, my mother, why the event is taking place, why we're doing it in memory of her. Other than the fact that, you know, the fact that she was a very social person, outgoing person, who liked to have fun, who embraced life. Even when she was in the wheelchair, she didn't let that stop her from living life and having fun. She was still going to rock concerts in her wheelchair. And I want to, you know, put it in perspective. She had severe emphysema. Let me tell you what that looks like. For her, anyway, her breathing at 47 years old, because of years of young smoking, her breathing was like trying to breathe through a cocktail straw. So you know those straws that you usually use to stir your coffee in places? It's a straw, but it doesn't look like something you actually drink out of. That was what her breathing was like, her regular lungs, which is why she was always on oxygen and confined to a wheelchair because of that. She did have some illness. She had some cancer, and of course she was always willing to help others with that as well. So because of that, 13 years ago, my mother was gone, and she's missed a lot of really good times. She missed my wedding. She's missed a lot of the kids' moments that she would have loved to have been part of. And so many other various things that she has done and missed over the years and whatnot, because of, you know, various other things. Now, granted, she was killed in a hit and run, as I mentioned. The girl who, you know, did this, and they did find her, the person responsible. And, you know, when I started looking in, you know, the beginning of last year at, like, what am I going to do for an event? And I said basketball, because one, my mother played basketball when she was younger. It's an all-inclusive sport. Anyone can play basketball for the most part, young, old, black, white, male, female, doesn't matter. And the other part was I still had a lot of friends who were in the celebrity status and the status in the various, you know, areas of celebrity status between social media, sports, film, television, comedy, wrestling, you name it. So I said, what if I, instead of having a wrestling show, had a celebrity basketball game? And of course, we'll still do the meet and greets because that's part of it. And, you know, it's a weekend thing. And that's kind of what started where we're at now. Fast forward, I reached out to a lot of people, you know, directly over the last year, just to give them an idea. This is something I'm going to be doing. This is coming up. Would you guys be interested? Are you willing to, you know, take part? And I can honestly tell you that a good amount of them have all, you know, been great and have been wonderful and have been on board. So yes, there are people who are heavily involved. There is some of my celebrity friends who are part of that, and actually all of them are celebrities for the most part. So what does the basketball game look like? What is it? What are we going to be doing? So, I mean, I don't have to explain what a basketball game is, I hope. But the way we're going to do it is we're going to split the team into two. So my son's team, he will be the captain of the Awesome Ones, and then my team, the F4L, because what else would it be called? So the idea is we're going to have two teams of how many celebrities we have. We're going to split them up into two teams. And, you know, for the most part, we're going to try to keep, you know, people who are related together because it makes the most sense, unless they occur, unless, of course, they, you know, insist upon playing against each other. I guess that's the thing. I mean, my son and I are playing against each other just because both of us can play basketball and also because it's, you know, it makes the most sense, right? It's her grandson and I'm her son. And if I'm going to start something and I'm going to do something, then I'm going to put myself in the middle of it. I'm not going to ask people to do something or be part of something if I'm not willing to do it myself. So that's why my son and I are taking part of it. Again, my son's team will be the Awesome Ones, and my team will be the F4L. And we're going to have, you know, uniforms and all that. There will be a meet and greet that will take place on the 19th at one venue. And people can meet the celebrities and get your pictures with the celebrities. Depending on which ticket package you have, I'm sure people are familiar with ticket packages where you can, you know, you pay X amount, you pay some, you know, a fee for, you know, X amount of things included in your ticket price, like a convention kind of an idea, right? So one at one level, you'll get autographs, pictures, you know, in the works at the VIP level. And then they kind of dwindle down, and it goes down in price, but also goes down what you're, you know, what's included. And of course, we'll have some general admission seats, general admission tickets on those days as well for those late comers or whatever. And the idea is on Friday, like I said, the 19th, we'll start the meet and greets, and that's what that will focus will be. We'll have a Q&A for VIPs only, or people who just go to the that event. So, you know, people can meet in the greet, and then we're going to have a VIP only or meet and greet. There will be a raffle for people who are not going to be part of the basketball game per se. But if you're not going to be taking part in the basketball game, you can actually be entered into a raffle to take part in the VIP only meet and greet, Q&A with the celebrities. That we're going to have a raffle for at that event, and only four people will be admitted, because that's just how that works. And why is it four? We always know why, because four is a lucky number. Okay, so, of course, you know, we're going to be reimbursing all the people who are coming in to take part in this event with gas, tolls, hotels, or whatever. And it'll give my friends and I, who are all, you know, different levels of things, to hang out for a weekend for a good cause, have some fun, play some basketball, make a difference. But the best thing of all, instead of sitting around and saying, I wish someone would do something about cancer, instead of saying, you know, gee, you know, that's too bad about, you know, Billy Johnson's son or daughter or wife or whatever, that, you know, she's sick with the cancer. I hope someone does something to help. No, that's not how we work. You see, we see an issue. Me and my friends are going to take care of it. We're going to do what we can to raise the money to give to the people who know how to fix those things. I have a degree in human services and film, and I know how to wrestle, and I know how to do various other sports. I don't have a medical degree to do medicine. My human services degree is for me to be a counselor. I can give people therapy, but I can't prescribe medicine. I don't know how medicine works. But if I can play basketball and earn them and raise the money to give to the people who do know how to make medicine and to take those strides to eliminate cancer, then that's what I'm going to do. That I absolutely can do. And that is exactly what I'm going to do. See, a lot of people know how passionate I am about my anti-bullying campaigns. I don't like bullies. And cancer, to me, is nothing more than a bully. It thinks it's powerful. It wrecks lives. It puts way too much strength on itself. It's arrogant in its own well-being. And it's destructive. It's heartless. Spineless, and it doesn't have any kind of compassion or thought process. It's a bully. Cancer is a bully. And I've already mentioned many times in the past, I will always fight against the threat that is bullies. I took a stance a long time ago that when put in a situation and I had to do something, I'm not going to wait for someone else to do something if I know I can do it myself. And at a young age, I was a bully buster. I'm still a bully buster. Cancer is a bully. I beat cancer one-on-one with my team of medical professionals back in the day. I'm cancer-free for years now. There's a lot of people out there who are not as lucky as me. Cancer is still hurting people, taking people down, taking lives, hurting many people. This needs to stop. People young, old, doesn't matter where they live, doesn't matter what kind of a price cap they have, it doesn't care. But guess what? Newsflash. Cancer is a living organism. What does that mean? Well, dinosaurs were a living organism. A saber-toothed tiger and a woolly mammoth was a living organism. Sorry to burst your bubble, but the megalodon was an organism that is also extinct. And unfortunately, the poor little dodo birds are also extinct. They were living organisms. Cancer is a living organism. So it is very clear what my purpose and my goal is going to be. Me and my friends will band together to play basketball, raise enough money to give to the people who can put something together to make cancer extinct. That's right. We are going to extinct. We're going to put cancer on the, it's not an endangered species, it's a parasite. It needs to be gone. And if I'm going to be the one to raise the flag, and if I'm going to be the one to do what I need to do, if I need to be the one to run up and down a court to help with the fight, then I'm going to. And I know my friends are going to be right there with me. And here's the awesome thing, no pun intended. No matter which team wins the basketball game, we are all winners because as a whole, everyone who took part in that event, whether you paid for a ticket to get to the event, to meet these people, to watch this game, or you took part in playing the game, or, you know, whatever, worked in the volunteer aspect of things, if you were part of this event at any point, the amazing thing is everyone wins because everyone as one took the fight and did what they needed to do to try to eliminate cancer, which is a bully. Whether we win or lose, it doesn't matter, because at the end of the day, everyone who took part of that weekend, the feeling to know that instead of sitting on the sidelines hoping that someone does something, hoping that the doctors can pull through and find a cure, no. We're going to go to work. We'll play basketball. We'll raise the money. And we will give them, help them get the tools they need to eliminate this disease. This is the first annual. This is something that's going to happen every year around the same time for the same purpose. And guess what? As long as the bully that is cancer exists, we're going to play ball. And let me tell you, we will earn enough. Take the fight to the bully that is cancer, and as a whole, we will make cancer extinct. We will give the doctors and the nurses and those who need it the tools necessary to eradicate the parasite that is cancer. The living organism that is cancer that has ruined lives of young, old, everywhere across the world, what a bully it is when you really think about it. I don't know how someone can look as someone who's been sick, battling the disease, and honestly watch from the sidelines and do nothing. I don't know any, I know plenty of people, sadly, who talk a big game. I know plenty of people who want something better. But fortunately, I also know plenty of people like myself who don't talk simply about what we're going to do. We show up and we do it. And that is something that not everyone can say. It is a gift. It is an ability to know who you are friends with. I am not friends with cowards. The F4L are not cowards. The whole idea of the F4L is to live life with love, caring, compassion, understanding, and respect for each other's differences. Bullies do not fit the criteria to be an F4L, nor does cancer, because it is one in the same, folks. Normally the show is full of laughter and joy and good moments, and this show is going to continue to have those, but there is these times when we have to talk about these serious aspects like this, but also to give people the hope that it is. Folks, my name is Sean Jazz Stevens. You've heard this many times on this podcast. I am certain you've seen something on something I've done on Instagram or YouTube or whatnot. If you haven't, hello, I am Sean Jazz Stevens. It's nice to meet you. But if you have met me, if you know what I do, if you know who my friends are, you better buckle up and get ready for the ride of your lifetime. Because Jazz and Friends Expo are going to have epic weekends of adventures and super show events. And when it comes to our first that we kick it all off with, what makes the most sense than to take the fight to cancer that is a bully? How appropriate is it that our first event of our existence is to take the fight to a certain kind of bully, which is cancer, and we wrap up our year of events dealing with bullies in our music festival later on this year in the fall? Folks, we are tired. I am sick of seeing all of the people who are hurt by this. The day before I made the announcement on Facebook, on Instagram last Friday, I was at a wake of an aunt that I lost to cancer. She had kids my kids' age. Her kids are the same age as mine. 20, 21, young, and they lost their mom because of cancer. And my mother may not have died technically of cancer. She was hit by a hit and run. She was weakened by, the things that put her in the wheelchair. And right after that, her brother and her sister followed her to the great beyond because of cancer. I've had a stepfather, a grandfather, and multiple other people. Guess what all happened to them? All had cancer. I've had friends, family, and I'm all over the place. People, this wrecks people's lives. This takes people out of everything. To look at the face of someone who has struggled with this, especially... No, I'm a parent, and if something was to happen to my kid, I don't know where, even one of my kids, I would be beside myself if they were sick. But to the parents out there, if your kid was sick and you were given the opportunity to stand on the sidelines Or would you get in there and help your kid? I know that's a very drastic statement, but it's a true statement. It's a relevant statement. At the end of the day, because ultimately what's going to happen is this. We are taking the fight to cancer. And I know there's been events in the past that continue to do the same thing. Imagine being part of something that will not only change the world, benefit the world, give people life, give people hope, but to take a stand against the bully that is cancer once and for all. Can you imagine what is going to happen on the day that between what we do and other people do to raise the money for this amazing company, this amazing charity, when cancer is eliminated because of people like us who are not going to sit at home or sit on our couch or whatever the case may be and hope for a better future? No, no, no. We're going to roll our sleeves up, lace our tire shoes, and get on a court and play ball for life. In the spirit of my mother, we are going to live our lives and raise money to give to the people that know how to eliminate the uncaring, cruel, destructive, cowardice, breathing organism known as cancer. People have made these things before, and I know a lot of people are just as passionate about it as I am. I don't know if everyone has the drive I do, and I don't know if everybody has the friends that I do, but I can tell you this. If you're one of those people who are wondering, should I take part in this event? Should I play? Should I go? What I want you to keep in mind is in the future, and not long from now, we hope, with our efforts that we help raise every year, and as that goal gets matched and breaks every single year, and the other efforts that go in, and the day, imagine being part of the movement that is history. When they announce, folks, we found a cure for cancer. And then the next announcement, cancer has been extinct. What an amazing feeling that will feel to know that you took part in that effort to eradicate the bully that is cancer. And that is what it's about. It's about not only just talking about, I want to do this, we should do this, someone should do this. This is about rolling up your sleeves and getting it done, doing something. And I'm going to set down the avenue and I'm throwing down the gauntlet. If I'm willing to give up my time, my energy, my body, and put my body on the line to run up and down a court of bat to play basketball against my son, who's just as good as I am, and a bunch of other amazing people with the event and the idea to help give the doctors, nurses, and the amazing team of people who are ready to eliminate cancer. Could you imagine the feeling to know in years that you took part in a conscious effort? By playing basketball, you helped prevent this disease from getting any worse or even you took part in an event that helped eliminate the bully that is cancer. Put that in perspective when you think, should I or shouldn't I? Are you going to be part of history, or are you going to watch history pass you by? Are you going to be the person saying, I should have done that, I could do that, I hope I could do that, or are you going to be the person who doesn't hope anything, you lace your sneakers up, you put your uniform on, you get on the court, or you just simply go to the event itself, go to the website, purchase tickets, and take part in that avenue, because that's still the same thing. You're still taking the fight no matter what area you're getting involved in. I am very, very, very proud of everyone who am I associated with. I have every amount of hope and respect for everyone who will be part of this. And I hope that they are all geared up, and I know they are. I hope they're ready for the war that is taking down cancer. This is something that no matter who you are, what walk of life is, you've been affected this somehow, some way. You know someone that's had it. You've known some way this has affected you some way, some manner. What Jazz and Friends Expo's first event is going to be when we partner up and take the fight to the bully that is cancer. What we're going to be doing is starting the ball to change and fix and help the world. Take that into account. Should I or shouldn't I? If you were given the option, since today is quote Wednesday, let me give you a quote from a certain movie with Bruce Willis. The world just asked you to save the planet. Do you want to say no? Or are you going to suit up and get ready to go to war with the bully that is cancer? People fight over things all the time. I don't condone wars or violence in that aspect. Sporting violence, I get it. But war is usually over pettiness, greed, misunderstanding, ego, you name it. But what I'm challenging you for is to team up with us, take part in our events so we collectively can go to war with the bully that is cancer, which is a global threat. And another quote from the great Bill Pullman. Today we are, hold on one second, folks. I'm going to give you this quote. Let me do this for you because I can. All right, folks, I'm going to give you guys this one. Here you go. Okay, here we go. Good evening. In less than an hour, aircrafts from here will join forces from aircrafts around the world. We will join from others around the world, and we are launching the largest aerial battle in the history of mankind. Mankind, that word should have a new meaning for all of us today. We can't be consumed by petty differences anymore. We will be united in one common interest. Perhaps it's fate that tomorrow is 4th of July, and you will once again be fighting for our freedom, but not from tyranny or oppression or persecution, but from annihilation. We are fighting for the right to live, to exist. Should we win today, the 4th of July will no longer be known as America's holiday, but will be the day when the world declared in one voice, we will not go quietly into the night. We will not vanquish without a fight. We are going to live on. We are going to survive. Today, we celebrate our Independence Day. Words of the great Bill Pullman. And of course, we're not doing aerial battles with cancer, but it is the same idea. It is the same call of arms. And we are very much fighting for the lives of others. And one voice. So, everybody, I leave you guys with that. I am humbled and proud of the people I am which am friendly with. I am not afraid of going to war with cancer. And unlike so many other people, I have defeated cancer alone before with the help of my friends. Folks, it's going to be a day and a time that will be remembered for years to come. Folks, at the end of the day, what this is about, granted, I'm playing in honor of my mother, who is one of the bravest people I knew. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for her standing up and doing what she believed to be correct. And my brothers and sisters wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for her fast moving and quickness and her agility and the fact that she was not just going to sit back and let her house burn or her kids within it. I don't talk a lot about it, but I honestly believe, you know, I lost my mom again in May of 2010. And that weekend, I had just moved into a new place that week, just shortly before that. And my mother came down to help me set up for the event and my housewarming party. She spent the week with me. And that weekend prior to her passing, before the whole incident, she was surrounded by loved ones. She was surrounded by people. She was the life of the party, making jokes, making amends, being the person that my mother was, giving her brother a hard time, giving her, you know, sharing positive memories. And everyone that weekend was so touched by my mother, so enamored with the amazing person that she was. The fact that she was in a wheelchair and oxygen, but she was making them laugh. She was laughing. They had a blast. And just 48 hours after that, that would all be taken. It doesn't always seem fair, but also I honestly believe that after that event, it is honestly, it's the person who my mother was that made me who I am. My mother was someone who spoke up when no one else had a voice. I am also that person. My mother would put herself in physical, would use her will physically should she need to, and if something called for it. My mother was constant, and she was someone who fought everything for everyone and each other. She's all about having fun and making jokes and living life. But I'm going to tell you a story that I don't talk a lot about. Very rarely have I. But you guys obviously have heard me talk about my anti-bullying efforts. I've talked to schools a lot and things like that. I've worked in the human services world and, you know, day programs for young people and older people and whatnot. I was working for a day program for adults. And so it was a mix of both young adults and adults on April 15th, 2013, 3 years after I lost my mother. And I honestly, it was my mother, I believe, who channeled through me. After I made sure all of the group that I was with, because it was an outing to support the runners for the Boston Marathon. We did this every year, the organization I work for. Every year we'd go and, you know, bring water for the runners and stuff like that and cheer them up on and whatnot. And on April 15th, 2013, it was 3 years after I lost my mom, there was a bombing. It was a tragedy and whatnot. And my first instinct, after making sure everyone who was in with, you know, that we were there with the group was okay, wasn't to run away and hide or to take cover. After I made sure the group that we were with was safe, I ran towards where the bombing went off to see if I could help others. And it wasn't like something I thought about long or hard. There was no thought process. After everyone I was there with was okay, I ran towards where it went off to see how I could help. The images I'll never get out of my head, and I'm not happy about the event taking place, but what I am proud of is the fact that my mother would have done the same thing, even if she was in her wheelchair. Well, fast forward years later, and, you know, being selfless, being someone to give others a chance, giving someone the opportunity to rise is important. Folks, I am going, we collectively, Jazz and Friends Expo's first event, the Celebrity Basketball Game. Don't think of it just as a meet and greet or a basketball game full of a bunch of celebrities. Think of it as taking part of something for the greater good. Think of it as taking a step to change the world for the better, to eradicate the disease known as cancer. And at the end of the day, can you imagine your self-respect for knowing that you took part in a movement when it comes to be that it is no longer a thing? All of the people who have been affected over these years, this is your chance to represent everyone who you know personally who it is affected, or anyone who it may affect down the road. You're either part of the problem or part of the solution. So I leave you with that this evening because I have a lot of other things I got to do. I am very happy that the Jimmy Fund shares this, you know, passion, and that there are people over there who want to do this. I'm very grateful for my friends who are taking part. And I am grateful for all the people who will take part in years to come until cancer, the bully that it is no more. So I don't see any way to end the show or that I can top that very reality-based, real statement. At the end of the day, we're changing the world for the better. And at the end of the day, you can be part of the movement that saved lives around the world. Because, again, I reiterate, I say this again in the words of Bill Pullman. We are fighting for the right to live. Oh, I'm going to stop this over here. Here you go. Let me give you this. Bert, quick little ending thing here. Once again, we are fighting for our freedom, but not from tyranny or oppression or persecution, but from the annihilation. We are fighting for the right to live, to exist. And should we win today, the 4th of July will no longer be known as America's holiday, but as the day when the world declared in one voice, we will not go quietly into the night. We will not vanquish without a fight. We are going to live on. We are going to survive. We are going to survive. Today, we celebrate our Independence Day. May all your dreams come true, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for your trip to the FRL headquarters. I am the FRL icon, Sean Jazz Stevens. For more information about this event that is coming up to take part, if you're interested, you want more information, feel free to reach out at www.dreammatches@gmail.com. Feel free to find me on my social media platforms on Instagram at FRLSEANJAZZSTEVENS1 on Instagram, F4LIcon. SEANJAZZSTEVENS on TikTok, whenever I get to do that. And of course, last but certainly not least, on Icons of the F4L on YouTube, where me and more of my friends and some of those who are taking part in this event will be on in action this coming weekend. I'll talk more about that on closer to the weekend. Probably Friday I'll be talking about the upcoming show on the 14th. But for now, folks, no matter where you are, what you're doing, may all your dreams come true. I am the F4L icon, Sean Jazz Stevens. Peace, everyone.